All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, happy to be speaking with an individual who has quite the fight going down October the 29th, the heavyweight clash, and we have Kirill Grishenko taking on Dustin Johnson, a battle of unbeaten heavyweights there, and happy to be speaking to Dustin once again. How's everything going there, man? You in the Singapore quarantine situation as of yet, or not so much?
I'm doing good. No, I'm not any quarantine situation that I know of. How do you pronounce his name?
Kirill Grishenko.
Yeah.
I feel like being in one championship, I'm going to struggle pronouncing a lot of people's names. And I do apologize for any future opponents or competitors that I might be going against, because I don't mean to. I just, North American, right?
No, that's fair. There are some definitely eclectic names in a sense of domestic familiarity, too, that I've noticed as well. But, I mean, you kind of touched on the fact that you're not yet over there and everything like that. Like, when does all of that kind of get going? Like, when do you officially touch down in Singapore and everything?
So, I leave in 2 days. So, Friday at noon. And then I'm sure I'll probably touch down there Sunday night, maybe 1 in the morning. If it's anything like the last time, I think that's what time I touched down before, 1 p.m. on Sunday, or 1 a.m., sorry.
Well, that's all right. And just, I mean, to that point with just, you know, how close it was the last fight there, like kind of the bouts fallen by the wayside there. Is it one of these things at this point where it's not going to feel like real, like until you're like actually out there in the circle kind of thing, just because of the different cancellations, or do you pretty much feel like it's, you know, good to go at this juncture?
I feel pretty good to go. Like, I mean, I know what you mean, though. I've definitely felt that in the past, especially I had a string of 7 fights fall through. Like, you know, last week of training camp and the fight gets canceled, guy gets injured, whatever. So there was a while there where I never thought it was actually going to happen. Like, you know, until we actually make it to the cage. But it seems like lately, the last few fights I've had, everything's kind of worked out in a sense. So I haven't felt that feeling in a while, but I have definitely felt that before, but I don't really feel it for this one. I feel like we're going to be good.
Yeah, it seemed like the quarantine was a bit of a bummer at certain points there. Like, what did you, I guess, get up to kill the time?
It was like 26 days there, and then I came home to Canada and had to do another 2 weeks, and it was hard because I didn't get paid nothing for it, and then I had to miss 6 weeks of work on top of that, so it was a struggle.
Well, it's kind of hurting to hear you didn't get paid like any kind of show money, because, I mean, it's not like you did anything.
Me both, man. I asked for it, and I pleaded my case a bunch to them, but they kept saying no.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's definitely curious to say the very least there, but
it's not even like I make high-tier money, right? It's not like I'm like Demetrius Johnson, who's probably show money is something ridiculous compared to something like mine. So it's like, I don't know. That kind of put a sour taste on my mouth for the company a little bit. But, you know, it's been 6 months now. Time to forget the past, I guess, and just focus on what's ahead of me. I'm not thrilled to be going back to Singapore. I kind of wished the event would be somewhere else, maybe Europe or a different Asian country. But, you know, go where I have to, I guess.
Is that just because you had already been there kind of thing? Is it informed by, like...
It's just because Singapore left a bad taste in my mouth the first time with the whole quarantine, right? Like,
yeah.
I know I didn't get the best experience from it, and it's probably not the best to go on. So I am looking forward to hopefully making better memories this time around, but it was definitely some like PTSD trying to go back there when I was told we're going back to Singapore. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can handle going back to Singapore. Being like 5 different holding facilities and one was a nightmare and a half. Can't even explain how rough that, the one of the camps we had to hang out in. Super hot weather, crowded, little cots, no air conditioning, terrible food. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was gonna say though, like probably that gives some confidence just with the narrative out there of like one potentially going to like America and different, you know, outside groups just kind of broadening what they're doing.
If they come to North America, please sign me up. Yes, I will 100 times yes say to anything in North America. It's just, I've never traveled somewhere like that to fight before, and going to Singapore, you realize like, oh my God, the traveling is so long. I don't mind traveling, but I'm not great at it. Like I got a large body, so I'm not comfortable sitting on planes, and it's, you know, I'm not at like celebrity status where I'm flying anywhere other than just super coach. So I'm just slumming it in the back of the plane, just getting there. But I mean, the only saving grace was that it wasn't very busy on the plane, so there were opportunities for me to stretch out across a few seats.
Yeah, it's
impact on that would have been, it would have been even more of a nightmare.
Yeah, I suppose that's a small silver lining to find in the situation, but just talking about the goings on domestically and whatnot, like is the fitness academy still the primary space? It seems like that's the case per some Instagram posts and whatnot. Like, who have you been getting in work with?
For sure. Oh, that's my home, and those are like family to me. You know, they've been friends for a long time, and we got a good group of guys that look out for each other. There's no like ego involved at that gym. That's just why I like it. It's just, you know, what you see is what you get. It's everyone's there to look out for one another and, you know, help everyone achieve their goals. So it's a great place to be. I think it's a really positive environment. Everyone works really hard and they're always trying to push you to the next level. So I'm very happy with where I am.
Yeah, it seems like there's that, you know, strong rapport. Like one of the last times we talked, you were saying you're the, like a hard worker from this like little island in Canada, and like without quote unquote like, you know, name training partners, but like guys who are just very talented, skilled fighters. And also I thought it was interesting.
There's great fighters all over the world, but you know, not everyone's heard of them and probably never will. But it's just about putting yourself out there. Like it's hard achieving a goal, like achieving a dream. People don't understand how hard it is to put yourself out there for failure and hope it all works out. So a lot of people that I know, they're great fighters or they're great training partners, and that's all they'll ever be, is because, you know, it's fighting's not for everybody. You know, it's just, it takes a certain individual to get over that mindset to go in there. And I barely feel like I'm over that mindset. Every time I go in there, I'm terrified and I'm always questioning myself. But every fight, I get a little bit better, confidence-wise, and just that I belong. And that's the whole thing, is just feeling like you belong, I guess.
Well, I think that earnestness helps at the very least, because then you can meaningfully analyze what's going on there, as opposed to like some braggadocio minded kind of thing where you just ignore it almost and you try to just like grunt it out, as it were, like that kind of thing. Like at least you're cognizant of it and trying to figure it out.
Oh, for sure. I've never, you know, I'm confident in my abilities, but it's hard to have, you know, I know too many people that their confidence is through the roof, and I don't know if that really helps them or not. If it does, to me, when I look at them, I feel like, man, that guy's got all the confidence in the world. I wish I was more like that, like when I went into the cage. But a lot of the times it's just a show. Like we all have insecurities and we all feel a certain way. I've always been pretty vocal about it, like how I feel. I will most likely, you know, we're more than willing to fight most anybody. It's just, you know, I will sign. It's just getting to the cage for me. Once I get in there, I feel pretty good. It's the lead up. It's, you know, I do get like kind of stressed out with things outside of the cage, like focusing on blood work or like getting medical stuff done, doing interviews. Not like this is stressful to me. I love being on here. I just mean like, I don't know, I'm kind of one of those guys that I like to get everything set and then just focus on the fight. And like, if I could, I'd have medical done within, you know, 2 months or a month and a half before the fight. Even I just don't want nothing coming up surprising me at the last minute to be like, I don't know, I get set in my ways, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, even speaking to the point of stresses outside of competition-based considerations, I mean, it seemed like something was happening there a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask a bit about this. The whole one eye in the...
outside my house, yeah. I don't entirely know what the case is of that. I don't know how he knew me or even, like, even came close. Because in the one video I posted, he's like, yeah, your name, you're Dustin Dwayne Johnson. You're Dustin Johnson. I was like, how the hell does he know my name? And, like, you know, you got to think social media has to play into a part of it. But we did kind of figure out who it was. And, like, he was leaving these messages with a bunch of people. And I think he's just, you know, has some things wrong with him and drug-filled past. So I wasn't really worried about it. And I just felt bad more or less for my wife. She's never really been around people to that nature. And I grew up in kind of like a rougher city where seeing things and people like that, it was just an everyday kind of thing. So, and I had a twin brother. He passed away like 3 years ago, but he was very badly into drugs. And I used to always see him hang around people like that. So it was nothing like a big shock to me when I come across things like that. I kind of know what to expect and how to deal with that kind of stuff. But for her, she'd never really been around that, so she was a bit shaken up. I just tried to tell her, like, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. You know, he's got no reason to. He'd already forgot about me the next day, so big deal.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't know, like, what the timeline was thereafter, like, how the story continued to unfurl, as it were. Like, I didn't know if, like, any cops got into the picture.
All the cops found him. They took away his knife. He had already said, like, he didn't know who I was. I know, I'm sure it's probably a lie. But I found out after that, a bunch of people reached out to me. Because if you saw in the photos that I posted, he gave me this little piece of paper with an eye and a swastika and all that. A bunch of people he gave those to. And they all kind of reached out to me and, like, sent me a bunch of pictures of the ones they received. So, you know, it's not like he's not going to – everyone that I know that even knows him says he's harmless and just – you know, and just, I don't know, let him be kind of, which is what I'm going to do. I'm not worried about it.
No, I just love the demeanor you have with it. Like, even in the video where you were talking to him, like, it seemed very, like, empathetic and patient more than, like, yeah.
There's only one thing I regret doing, and that's at the end of the video, I should have shut the truck. There was a truck lid. I should have closed him in there and called the cops, but I didn't think of it at the time because that wasn't his truck. People keep asking me that, like, oh, like, you caught him in his truck, he's driving away. No, there's a bakery across the street from me, and he just happened to open up the back of the truck and be standing in the back of a bakery truck, like a 6 Mile bakery. So that's what he was standing in. It wasn't his truck. He was just on foot walking around. It's just kind of funny because when we called the cops, like, giving the description of him, like, wearing a large leather trench coat, carrying a knife, and wearing a leather hat, like a cowboy hat. And then once they found him, like, oh, yeah, no, he definitely stands out. It's, like, pouring rain out. Like, how do you miss that? The guy looks straight out of a movie, like some villain, but, you know, drugs, eh?
Not that I know you, like, super, super well, per se, but it just seemed very, like, derivative of the personality there. Like, just, like, I don't know, I feel like most people in a situation with, like, a Zodiac killer cosplayer might be a little more stressed and all that, but no, it's good, man.
The camera that I have at the front door, I've actually have that for a year and a half now, and since then, there's about 5 incidences that's picked up worthy of posting online. Like, one guy getting off a bus and literally taking a crap in the front driveway. I think I posted that one on maybe my personal Facebook one before. But I've lived there for 9 years, and it just goes to show, like, how much stuff have I missed? You know, like, through the years, it's been a year and a half, and I have, like, at least 5 things worthy of, like, being like, hey, man, check this video. Isn't this crazy? Some guy hiding in the bushes. From the cops, like, beside my car, right in front of the thing. Another thing happened in the summer where a guy was taking a piss right by my front door. I tried to scare him because I saw him on camera, but he was so hammered. He's like, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I said I'm taking a piss. And he, like, yelled at me. I'm like, get the hell out of here. And I grabbed him by the neck. And, you know, he was like, oh, you want to fight? You want, you, I'm like, yeah, dude, let's fight. Let's go to the middle of the driveway to do this, though. I just wanted to get him out of the driveway.
Yeah.
As soon as I got him out there, I just left him. Actually, I threw a bucket of water at him because it was summer and there was like a bucket of water for dogs. I threw that at him, and just a minute later, the cops happened to be walking down the road anyways, and they arrested him. So I'm just saying, there's always these crazy things that go on outside my house. And I feel like I live in a good neighborhood. So I don't know what's going on. Get yourself a doorbell camera. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's funny. I love that. I'll have to look into some additional videos there. I think I'd seen like a couple, but I don't know that I'd seen the one with like the guys hiding from the cops and stuff like that. But just talking about...
Yeah, I try not to post them all. Just the ones that really stand out, like that guy for one, because I wanted to know more information about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was one of the more wild security camera videos I'd seen. But just, you know, talking about this fight coming up here, I mean, I did the little intro and it seemed like the pronunciation wasn't at the forefront of the familiarity. But has the tape study kind of been something that's part of this? Like, did you catch the last rug fight he was in and all that?
I don't really watch. I've said this to many. I don't really watch a lot of footage on fighters. I usually get coaches to do that kind of stuff and just say, well, he's going to try. He might try to wrestle. He might try to do this. He's good with kicks, whatever. I like to... Because otherwise, I think too much about when I'm fighting, and I might think of his game plan more than my own. So, for me, I just try to be ready for everything and fight my fight. And, you know, just try to get pointers on, you know, when I fought Carl, it's like he likes to throw overhand rights, and he likes to throw that leg kick. Well, yeah, he does. I did a good job defending all the overhands. I just caught a few good leg kicks. Can't block them all. They're hard to tell. Like, when he's throwing that leg kick, I'm not sure if he's throwing the leg kick or if he's throwing the overhand right, because he kind of winds up for both. And I'm like, I'd rather protect my head than my leg, so.
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
Call there.
Yeah, understand the mindset and that kind of regard there for sure. But I mean, we've had a couple conversations before and you told me that your, you know, teen son, not necessarily the biggest into the athletics per se, but it looked like you were getting in a little father-son jiu-jitsu at one point. What was going on with all that?
Trying to. Yeah, like, yeah, it was really, it's fun. I wish he had more of an interest in it, but I just feel like half the time I take him to training with me, I'm dragging him in, and I don't want to feel like I'm forcing him to do anything. So when he gets to an age where, you know, it's his choice, all I know is if I were a kid and my dad did something like that, I would have loved to have been a part of it. There's no way I would have always been there.
I was gonna,
he's computers, he's games, he's whatever, he does him.
Yeah, I think you were saying too, he wasn't as into like the pro wrestling either, because I was going to say like Randy Savage a couple Halloweens back there with something you were breaking out there. Are you going to break out the 2000 Triple H theme song for this one here?
No, I'm hoping it's kind of on a wraps right now, but there should be a little surprise with it being so close to Halloween and maybe some theatrics a bit.
Oh.
But I kind of found this out today. But we're going to kind of keep it quiet and hopefully it all works out. So hopefully come my entrance, there's a nice show to go with it, so to speak.
Maybe a little like cameo, maybe a cameo from Chief Supreme. Like he walks you out to the circle or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, that was cool. It seemed like that was a guy that has been like a long time kind of supporter, and it seemed like you were supporting him too. So you love to see that. Is that like someone
you know, it's just hard with the pandemic and stuff, because I'm only allowed to have one corner. I'm only allowed to have one person there at the arena with me, even if they paid their own way kind of deal, right? It'll be full again, and I can have, you know, more than one guy come with me, because there's a lot of guys that I know that would pay their own way just to be a part of something like that. And I've never really experienced that. Even with my last gym, it's usually just one person, like just my coach, Adam, that would come out with me. And like, it'd be nice to have some like good backup and friends, encouragement just to have with you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to... yeah, have like a, you know, certain presence of people cheering you on and what you're doing. So to that point, you're keeping it consistent with this one and having Adam corner you for this one.
This one will be my buddy Johnny, John Fad. Longtime friend. Kid's a great wrestler. So, you know, he had a full scholarship for wrestling of University of Calgary. He's a standout for sure. And I think having someone like that with such good wrestling credentials as a corner, especially against this guy who's, you know, in the European games or whatever he does, I think it's beneficial to have, especially in the back going over some takedown defense type stuff or whatever I might need to go over.
Yeah, it sounds like a good person to have in your corner there for sure. And it's cool to see how this is all timing out, because with the, you know, broadcast date and stuff like that, it'll be just a single day shy of 1 year since you last had that Carl Sumanitafa fight. So yeah, it's been a bit of a long road.
I keep saying, I like, for some reason my fights seem to average out once a year. Just I had a few fights in quick span, and then after that it just, they all seem to be far and few. So, and obviously the pandemic happening at the worst time of my career, just when things are starting to get into it, it just kind of all kind of put a halt to a lot of things.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see you get to finally compete, and especially with like the skill set too, because I think it'd be interesting, especially if you have like a wrestling kind of focused approach like you're talking about there, like maybe some grounded knees could be part of the approach here sort of thing.
And that's a hard thing to think about too. I keep thinking about that in my head. Like, am I even going to remember to do that kind of stuff if the opportunity presents itself?
Yeah.
And then I don't want to put myself in any kind of position like that either. I need to scramble the hell out of there if I get put in something like that. I'm just, you know, I'm all fine for that. I am kind of happy there's no like head stomps or soccer kicks. I think that could be kind of rough.
Yeah, that would get a little...
it seems personal at that point.
Yeah. I'm
trying to stomp my head on the ground. Oh. When did this become a sport?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I showed my dad some of those, like, old Pride, like, face stomp videos, and he's just like, oh, this guy should go to jail for doing that. Like, what the hell is this?
I feel like one championship used to be able to soccer kick. I can't remember. Or at least...
Yeah,
I know Andre Arlovsky thought he could, and he tried to do it when he fought there once.
Yeah, they had a weird thing with that at one point where, like, the ref would give, like, a go-ahead via, like, a hand signal to the guy, and then that Arlovsky-Sylvia fight, it got kind of, like, muddled, I guess. Like, it's like, no, I didn't give the hand signal, you shouldn't have soccer kicked, and since then they've been, like a little bit revisionist history with talking about the soccer kicks. Like, they're like, oh, we never did that, and it's like, no, I'm pretty sure you did, I remember.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it, but whatever. It is different learning different rule sets, and even like different judging rules. I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's like they judge the fight on a whole and not so much as a round by round basis. It's like, what if I just kill this guy in the first few rounds and then the last 30 seconds I look like I'm getting beat up? Does he just win the fight there?
Yeah.
If that's the case, does it give me more incentive to just kind of lay back for the last few minutes of the fight and then go balls out? So I don't know. Maybe I don't quite understand their scoring a bit. I mean, obviously the goal is to always finish your opponent, but, you know, it doesn't always happen.
No, that's totally fair, man. I myself sometimes find the scoring criteria to be a bit nebulous. Like, it's like, oh, it's about the total fight and about the most damage. And it's like, yeah, but the contextual application of that gets like a little fuzzy there. But I'm glad you were able to come on the show and chop it up a little bit ahead of this one here, man. I want to be mindful of the schedule and everything, though, for sure. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up? Love getting to talk to you, but I want to, yeah, be mindful of that schedule too.
I'd just like to say thank you to my gym TFA and all my sponsors, you know, Chief Supreme, Cardinal Custom Carpentry, and like, you know, JRP Cement Finishing, Game Face Wipes, Universal Supplements. You guys have always been there for me, and even my pain relief Dr. Parento, he's been making sure I've been staying healthy this whole time, so I appreciate all you guys, and I appreciate you having me on this talk. It was good.
yeah, always fun getting to chop it up, man. And this fight is going to be a compelling one. A couple undefeated heavyweights going at it there October 29th in the one circle. And
sometimes I think about that too. I'm like, taking away someone's first loss, it's kind of a weird feeling. I did that once with Machado, and he's been ripping it up lately. So far, no one's done it with me, but I'm sure it'll suck when it does happen. I'm a realist, so I'm feeling it probably will at some point in my life if I keep doing it. The odds are.
That's kind of a funny thing for you to say. That seems...
Keep us going as long as we can.
Yeah, that just seems very much like, from what I can tell, your personality is like you feel bad about giving somebody their first professional defeat.
It's like it's bittersweet. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, well, we'll be seeing how all of that goes down. Somebody's O perhaps will go. I guess a drop could happen as well, supposedly. But it'll be an interesting fight all the same. And yeah, just great getting to talk, man. You enjoy the rest of the lead up heading into this one. And hopefully it goes smoother than last time, we'll say.
Yeah, no doubt. Couldn't be any worse.
Yeah.